If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and our text will be found in verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. The title of the message is That Same Jesus. That Same Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. I heard this the other day, and I was... It hit me, and I had to think about it, but it was so true. I did not learn or did not know the Lord Jesus Christ through my doctrine. I learned my doctrine through the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to try to preach Calvinism or the doctrines of grace. If you just preach Christ, those things come out all by themselves. I know they're true. But friends, I'm not trying to convince you of a doctrine. I want to show you a person. And by the person, you'll learn the doctrine. By the person, you'll learn the doctrine. And the doctrine won't be just doctrine. It'll be beautiful. Because it's in light of the person. The person. That same Jesus. Now, out of all the billions of people upon the face of the earth at this time, there are very few who have not heard of the name of Jesus. In this age of communication, this age that we live in, where the news travels from one hour, 15 minutes from after it happens, it could be right in front of you. We've all heard the name Jesus. Now, whether men like it or not, doesn't matter. What I'm saying is this, everybody's heard the name of Jesus. Now, some men denounce him as an imposter. They think he's a mythological character. But these men do so willfully ignorant of historical facts concerning this man, Jesus Christ. No man can deny the historical fact that this man, Jesus, lived, did miracles, died on a cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead. God was not without witnesses. John in his epistle says, we were witnesses, eyewitnesses. And Paul says that he was a witness after the fact. After the Lord had already risen. He had seen the risen Lord. Now many men today confess to believe on Jesus. They confess Him to be their Savior. They believe the historical record. They profess to be followers or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure on your way here you've passed several churches. If you came down from Zorin, you passed two that way. But if you come down this way, there's another one over here, and then there's another one up the street there. Now, there are many churches, and if you were to go to each one of them and say, do you believe on Jesus Christ? They would laugh at you. Well, of course we do. Of course we do. And there are many different denominations that you've passed by. And none of them will deny the truth of the existence of Jesus Christ. They will confess His death was for sin. They will confess that He was either a God or the God. They may confess both of those. I don't know. With this being said, the question must be asked, is the Jesus we believe, the Jesus we confess to be Savior, is He that same Jesus that the apostle preached here? You men of Israel, hear this, Jesus of Nazareth. He's being very specific because there were a lot of men named Yeshua. There were a lot of men named Jesus in that day. And in case you were wondering which Jesus of Nazareth, it was the one that did the miracles. You know the one. He said, you know this. It was the Jesus that was crucified that I'm talking about. The one that you crucified. The one that was spoken of in Holy Scripture by the prophet David. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. This Jesus that ascended to the right hand of God. And this Jesus God hath made Lord and Christ. This one Jesus. And not another. When Jesus walked upon the earth, there were many who professed to believe Him. There were many who professed to be His disciples. But once they heard the truth of who He really was, many of them did not walk with Him ever again. There were many who believed on Him and then immediately wanted to throw Him off a cliff. There were some who believed Him and then called Him a devil. Wait a second. You mean people believe on Jesus and would call Him? Yes. After they heard what He preached. After they heard what He was and what He came to do. Yes. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a wonderful example. These are those that Jesus fed, that 5,000 He fed, and they came across the sea. They spent a lot of money coming across that sea to find Him on the other side because He just left them there. I love how the Lord does that. They weren't His, and He just left them there. John chapter 6. Look at verse 59. These things said He in the synagogue as He taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured, He said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. And He said, therefore I said unto you, no man can come unto me except the Father, except it were given him of my Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." After He had declared the simple truth that He is God manifest in the flesh, that He came to save an elect people, and only those elect, the Father gives them faith, and that offended them so much, they left. They left. Go over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Look at verse 30. "And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they were very offended. What do you mean free? We're Abraham's seed. Go over to verse 58 and look what the end result was. look at this in verse 56. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day and saw it and was glad. And the Jews said, you're not 50 years old. And you said that you've seen Abraham? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And what did those people that believed on Him do? They took up stones to cast at Him. They tried to kill Him. When Jesus walked upon this earth, there were many who professed to believe. But when they found out who He was, they went away. They hated Him. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, and when Jesus is declared and revealed by the power of the Spirit, there will be a division. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. What is that sword? It is a sword of division. Division between the sheep and the goats, the lost and the saved, the elect and the damned. That's the sword. The Word of God divides. And it divides on the edge of this. Who is the Christ? Who is Jesus? There will be a separation so that those who believe in this Jesus of Scripture, who is the only Savior of sinners, and there will be a division between those who believe in a Jesus made up of their own carnal imagination. There's going to be a division. This Word of God separates. Why do you think men spend so much time singing and then they get up and preach for 10, 15 minutes and get out? Why? They don't have a message that's not offensive. They can't read much in here without offending people. See, I don't intend to offend anybody. The Word of God does that all by itself. Separates all by itself. This Jesus of Scripture is different from the carnal imagination of men. Therefore, house of Israel, know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus. Who is that same Jesus that God made Lord and Christ? You hear them say, make Jesus your Lord. Well, obviously, we're not talking about the same Jesus. Because God hath made my Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, He hath already made Him Lord. He's not waiting to be made Lord. He is Lord. He's not waiting to be crowned. He is crowned. He's not waiting for you to do something for Him. Friends, He needs to do something for you. This world, they ask, what will you do with Jesus? No, not this Jesus. What will this Jesus do with you? This Jesus is Lord. And this Jesus is the Christ, the only Savior sent of God. To miss the person and work of Christ is to come short of the grace of God. That is only found in the face of Jesus Christ. If you miss Him, you miss the whole thing. Don't tell me what you know. Tell me who you know. Who you know. Because to not know Him is to not have life. Do you know this Jesus? So then let's cast out all the sentimental thoughts of what our families have told us. Cast out all the things that Grandma taught you. Don't do you no good. You know, I run into a lot of resistance when I preach the gospel or witness to someone. They don't want to believe it. And they use this excuse because their mother didn't believe it. Or their grandmother taught them something different. Well, if their grandmother believed in another Jesus, their grandmother, like mine, is in hell. I'm not being sentimental about this. The truth is not sentimental. Truth is truth. And it's my heart's desire that God reveal Himself to each and every one of us. That God would reveal Himself. Because you can't know God unless you know Christ. And you can't know Christ unless God reveals it to you. No man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. So then I want to ask questions. Who is this Jesus? Well, first of all, this Jesus is the eternal Son of God. What does that mean? The eternal Son of God. Well, there is only one God. We worship only one God who is manifest in three distinct persons. Can you understand that? No. Can I? No. This is how God reveals Himself. He is one God, yet three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. At His baptism, we see all three of them there. We see the Son being baptized. We see the Spirit of God descending on the Son. And we hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Three distinct persons, yet one God. One in will, one in power, one in purpose. But not three gods, one God. And only those who are born of God may overcome this world by faith, and faith in that Jesus Christ who is the Son of God. John calls Him the Word. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. This Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus was not made. Now you hear me say that, and that sounds foreign to you. Because it's not taught here, not believed here. I don't know of anyone here that's even spoken such things as Jesus was created. But yet there are people who believe that Jesus was created. I'm not talking about that Jesus. I don't know who He is. Jesus was not made, but He made all things. And He made all things for His own glory, for Himself. Anyone who believes in a created Son of God does not believe in the same Jesus that God has made both Lord and Christ. Now, Jesus was not always a man. In the beginning, He was a Spirit as the Father and as the Holy Spirit. But yet, from eternity, He was purposed to be the Son of God and the Son of man. Behold the beauty of this. That God did not just possess a human body. He united Himself with a human body. Do you realize that there is no religion in this world that has ever said that? None. Now, their gods come in the form of men. Their gods come in the likenesses of men. They come in shadows of men. But not one of them ever became a man. Only this Jesus became a man. Only this Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, united to a body made by the Holy Spirit, so that He would be born of the seed of the woman and not the seed of Adam. Why not? Because Adam's race is cursed. He was born of the seed of the woman. This was all determined of God to save His elect people. The Lord Jesus Christ, we are made accepted in the Beloved. When were we made accepted? When was I accepted of God? Was I accepted of God when I accepted Jesus? No. Nowhere in the Scripture does it teach we are to accept Jesus. Nowhere. But I know this, I am accepted of Jesus. I'm accepted in Him before the foundation of the world. I was accepted. I was accepted. My accepting of Him does not matter. God had made Him both Lord and Christ, whether I accepted it or not. But I know this, I was accepted of Him. He was accepted. I was accepted in the Son. And just as He was anointed to be the surety of His people, even so He was appointed to be made flesh that He might be a faithful high priest. What is a high priest? A high priest is somebody who represents people to God in things pertaining to God. Sacrifices, offerings for sin. That's what a high priest does. He mediates. Jesus Christ was to be the mediator, the one to stand between us and God, the one to offer the sacrifice that God would accept. What sacrifice have you offered that God would accept? What could you give to please God's justice? Nothing. Nothing. That's why hell is eternal, because we could never pay for our sins. Therefore, if God was to save His people, it must be by Him becoming a representative man. My Jesus is a representative. He's a representative man of all the Father gave Him. By the blood of bulls and goats, sin could not be atoned for. And it was by Adam that all were made dead in trespasses and sin. Therefore, it must be by a righteous man, a righteous, sinless blood offering in order to save His people from their sins. And so then the Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Jesus we worship, the God-man mediator. He is God. And He is man. Just as much God as if He was not man, and just as much man as if He was not God. The God-man. He is both my King and my brother. You know the Scripture says this, that He's not ashamed to call me His brother. He's not ashamed to call us His brethren. He took upon Himself our flesh. He knows what it is to be a man. And everyone who does not believe that He is God, a very God, and man, a very man, does not believe in this Jesus. Second of all, what did this Jesus come to do? Now the Father chose an elect people and made Christ to be their guarantee, and it was not because of any good in them. His love was not set upon them based on anything they would do for Him, but in eternity, by free and sovereign grace, God determined to save His beloved people, His people that He chose. And it's not because of any good they've done. Look at Romans 9. Read it with me. Very vital chapter in Scripture, this Romans chapter 9. It declares a lot concerning God's salvation. Verse 11, speaking of Jacob and Esau, it says, "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Hated. What are you going to say? Verse 14, what are you going to say about that? What will you say? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is that not fair? I hate that word, fair. I don't know who's teaching my children life is fair, but I wish they'd stop. You see, sinners don't want fair. We want mercy. I want mercy. Do you need mercy or do you need fair? Fair gets you to hell. Fair is that God sends us all to hell. That's just right. But praise God that He did love some of Adam's race. Now there was no difference between Jacob and Esau. No difference. They were born of the same father, had the same mother. They were born sinners. No difference. Both were unworthy of mercy. And if you read on down further, he said, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel of honor and another dishonor?" He didn't take from two different lumps. Jacob was not a lump that loved God, that was good, and Esau was a bad lump. No, they were all bad. They were all wicked. We're all wicked. Yet God from the same lump made one vessel to honor and another to dishonor. And who are we to reply against God? Who are we? The difference was the sovereign love of God. And this same Jesus was sent for this purpose, to be the righteousness and the atonement for those people alone. A righteousness that we could never provide for ourselves. Never. No matter what you give up, no matter what you sacrifice, you still cannot pay for your sins. God sent this same Jesus to do this, and He did this by obedience to the law. The law of God. I'll tell you what, you read the law. What do you read? When I go to the law, you know what I read? Guilty. 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 That's all I can read. I have sinned against God. But Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law of God. The law of God is important. The law of God is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. What was wrong is us. We could not obey the law. But He did. This Jesus I'm talking about is a righteous man. A man who completely, with every thought. Now don't tell me. Be honest with yourself. Have you thought of Christ this whole time you sat here? Or has your mind wandered? Because I'm preaching and my mind wandered. So, no. Have you always thought of God continually? Without ever thinking about yourself? Always thinking of others? Always loving others more than yourself? Absolutely not. If any man says that, he's an arrogant liar. That's what he is. We could not obey the law, but this man did. In every thought and action. How beautiful is that to see a righteous man? He was completely righteous, and God said of him, He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There's no other Jesus than the one that God was well pleased. In Isaiah chapter 42, it says this, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not? The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, for he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this people robbed and spoiled." That's us. We robbed and spoiled, but this man made the law of God honorable. Jesus said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And He has filled it full. This Jesus came to fulfill the law and make a righteousness, not for Himself, but for His people. Even the righteousness of God. Jesus came into the world to do the will of the Father, to do what no child of Adam could, love God with all of his heart, soul, and mind, and love his neighbor as himself. Who did that but Jesus? Jesus came for the express purpose to reconcile us to God by His death. You remember what Peter said, you remember what Peter said concerning this. When the Lord revealed that He was going to die, Peter said, "Be it far from you, Lord, that this should happen to you." And what did he say? "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God. For this purpose came I into the world." This is the reason he came, to die. That's why he became a man. So that he could die. Die for sin. Die as a sinner's substitute. This Jesus was lifted up as the Lamb of God. And he died for sin. Jesus Christ when he hung upon that cross was the spotless Lamb of God. There's no doubt about that. His flesh was perfect. His blood was perfect. His words were perfect. His thoughts were perfect. He was still the righteous Son of God. And yet God took our sin and imputed it. He charged it to Him. So much so that it became His own. And God poured out. God shed the wrath and vengeance that was due unto us and put it on His Son. And He died under the wrath of God. And His final words were this: "It is finished." What was finished? Sin was finished. Done. Daniel chapter 9, I love this. He said that He should put away sin. I'm right close by, I'm going to read it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make reconciliation for iniquity. This is what Jesus did. He put an end to my sin. He bore it away. Now, how far is my sin gone? Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our sin from us, our iniquities from us. It's so gone. My sin is so gone that God can't find it. God can't find my sin. Now, I seem to see it every day. By faith, I know that Christ has already taken it away. And the last question, was He successful? Most of what I said, people will nod their head in agreement. Say, yeah, I believe Jesus is God. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He came and died for sin. I believe He came and died for the sin of all men without exception. You're saying He died for the elect, but I say He died for all men. We're not talking about the same Jesus then. Because your Jesus was not successful. If Jesus Christ died for all the sins of all men, then all men would be saved. Without a doubt, no assuredly, that this same Jesus God hath made Lord and Christ. And if He had desired to save everyone, He would have saved everyone. Did Jesus accomplish the righteousness of God? Did He? Did Jesus put away sin forever? Scripture says that in the grave He rose from the dead because He was not holding of it. You can't hold a man in the grave who has sin that has no sin. If a man has sin, that's why he's in the grave. But if a man has no sin, how can death hold him? Can't. Why was He risen? Because He had no sin. Put it away. Jesus Christ. This is the point of so great a hatred for Christ is this beloved point. That Jesus Christ actually accomplished salvation. That His blood actually atoned for all the sins of all His people. This same Jesus did not make salvation possible. If your Jesus made salvation possible and left it up to you, we're not talking about the same Jesus. My salvation was not made possible. My salvation was accomplished, finished, done. When? Well, it was from eternity, it was purposed. It was finished when Christ died and rose again from the dead. Now, it was made manifest to me in the process of time. God revealed it to me through the preaching of the gospel, just like He does every one of His elect. You see, by my believing in Jesus Christ, that added nothing to the righteousness of Christ. That added nothing to the work of Christ. Matter of fact, my faith is a work of Christ. He is both the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all he hath given me, I should lose nothing." I'm glad for that. "I should lose not one of them." And he won't. Because when I convey the message to you, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," if that is accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be saved. You will. This is the promise. This is the Jesus we worship. Jesus who is God and man. Jesus who is my righteousness and my atonement. Jesus who actually accomplished my salvation. And one day, I'll see it fully. Right now, I see it through a glass darkly, through faith. But I know this, one day, face to face, and it'll all be made plain to me. Which Jesus do you serve? Who is your Jesus? Because if you don't know this Jesus, you don't know God. How precious is this Jesus to us? Do we not count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of this Jesus? I pray that that's so. I pray that's your heart. If it is, know assuredly. I like that. I'm sure of this. I'm sure of my salvation, because my salvation does not rest in me. It rests in Christ alone. May God bless this to your hearts, and have the men come forward. We'll prepare the memorial service for the Lord's Supper.